Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio ministry. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What about the statement we often hear? Oh, don't worry. It'll all work out. I'm going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We know, Heavenly Father, that it is the Holy Spirit who creates faith in our hearts. We understand that faith is not something that we manufacture ourselves. Try as hard as we may to believe, we cannot without your presence, without your Spirit working in us. So today we pray that where there is no faith in the heart of a person, your work will begin. And where there is faith in our hearts, grant that your work will continue, that Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world, may become more precious for us every day. It is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 17. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Be high with joy.
Dear hearers of the word, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the past few weeks, we have observed our president-elect, George W. Bush, nominating his cabinet. He looks for people with expertise and experience who will assist him in making critical decisions which will affect our nation. President Bush lacks in knowledge and experience in dealing with international problems. But Colin Powell knows many of the world leaders well and is acquainted with the ongoing conflicts. So the president will look to him for help as the Secretary of State. The final decisions, however, will be made by the president himself. But expert counsel will be extremely valuable. On November 1st of last year, the little devotional booklet that we use in our home entitled Our Daily Bread had an interesting thought which caught my attention. It reads, "All corporations have a board of directors. So do most churches, schools, and nonprofit organizations. But do you have one?" Richard Leider, a career consultant, encourages individuals to choose a personal board of directors as part of a plan for maintaining health and vitality. They can be people who are alive today, or who lived in the past, known to you personally, or only through their writings and accomplishments. They are people from whom you would seek advice. This thought so intrigued me that I have chosen my own personal cabinet for this year, and they are made up of 8 biblical characters. Of these, I believe God is going to help me, and during the next 8 weeks, God willing, I would like to introduce my board of directors to you through the sermons. I would encourage you to draw up your own list. Yours would not be the same as mine, but I challenge you to look through the Bible and select people who could help you in living the Christian life on a daily basis. These biblical personalities have their counterparts, if you look hard enough, in today's society. You're acquainted with some of these people. You may live very closely to them. You could call them your assistant cabinet members. Not the Secretary of State, but rather the Assistant Secretary of State. Perhaps not as perfectly worked out or lived out as the person who you find on the pages of the Scripture, who is your role model on that particular occasion, but one who really is an inspiration to you. So today my first cabinet member is Abraham. His counsel to me is this: trust God. It will all work out. God will provide. You know, that word, God will provide, sometimes bothers me. For there are many people I use who I believe use it illegitimately. You'll hear them say, "Oh, don't worry. It'll all work out. God will take care of us." It is the expression, or at least it can be, of some who lack responsibility in their living. They are often undependable, unreliable people. There is no rationale for their behavior, but they pacify their reckless decisions by sweeping their impulsive acts under the rug, saying, "So what? It'll all work out." I know of a person who is hopelessly in debt. She has used 3 credit cards to the maximum. Most of the purchases were items she did not need. When asked, "How do you hope to pay this debt?" she responded, "I don't. This would be impossible on my income. I guess what I'll have to do is take the next step, and that is to file for bankruptcy." That's reckless, irresponsible living. When Abraham says it'll all work out, he was not advocating irresponsible behavior. God had given him a promise. The covenant between God and Abraham is recorded in Genesis 12, when he says, God speaking now, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. What a promise. How was it all going to happen? Abraham had no idea, but God had spoken and he would trust him. During the years when Abraham was given no children, he began to ask God a few questions. For example, and this is recorded in Genesis 15:3, you've given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. How can I become the father of this great nation that you have promised to me? Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said, Abraham, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. It didn't make any sense to Abraham because Sarah, his wife, was well beyond the age of childbearing. But living with God's promise, Abraham said, it will all work out. And sure enough, it did. Then came the day when Sarah gave birth to the child, and he was named Isaac. Abraham watched Isaac grow up and loved him. What a shock it must have been when the Lord sent another message one evening saying, Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Well, Abraham certainly must have thought, it doesn't make sense. God has spoken, and so the next morning he went. He took Isaac and the donkey and some firewood, and they were on their way to Mount Moriah. There the Lord would command and tell them what to do. Finally, Isaac began to question, Father, you've got the firewood. You say we're going to offer a burnt offering, but where is the lamb? And then Abraham said to his son, Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. In other words, what Abraham said to Isaac was, Isaac, I'm not quite sure, but it will all work out. Now, this was not reckless thinking like the lady who had the credit cards. His faith was based on the promise of God. When they arrived at their destination, Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his little son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his arm and took the knife about to kill the son when an angel of the Lord cried out, Abraham, do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son. And then the Bible tells us that Abraham looked around and there was a lamb caught by the horns in the thicket. He took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. This is the story of Abraham, a man of faith. 2,000 years later, the writer of the book of Hebrews that is now in our New Testament refers to this incident and Abraham's faith in the Lord. Abraham had defined faith not with words only, but with action. It is placing ourselves in the hands of Almighty God and trusting Him, believing that on the basis of His promise, whatever it is, it will all work out. Are there people, you might ask, who trust Christ in this way today? Abraham's biography is on the pages of the Bible. Are they not different kind of people? Well, I can't say whether they're different or not in one sense of the word, but we know that they've all been born with a sinful nature. And if you follow carefully the story of Abraham, he had his weak moments too. But God created faith in Abraham, and that faith continued to grow as he trusted him. A person who would say to you, my counsel is, trust God. Believe his promises. It's all going to work out. I see that faith working in the hearts and minds and lives of people today. I think, for example, of Pam and Jim, two young people when they left for an outpost in the Cameroons of Africa with one little child. And there they were going to translate the Bible into the native language of a particular tribe. They said they had to go. These people had to hear the story in their own language of God's love in Jesus Christ. If you began to ask them all kinds of questions, how they expected to handle this and this and this when the situation confronted them, they couldn't tell you. They didn't have the answer. But it was not irrational thinking. They were people who were living with the promise of Jesus, who had said to them in his word, "You go and make disciples of all nations, and the promise that I give you is, I will be with you always." Years have now passed, and Pam and Jim are home on a furlough. Their children are growing up. It's a lovely family. I'm sure that both of those young missionaries would tell you that just trust him. It's going to work out all right. I saw that kind of faith in the life of Joan many, many years ago when her husband walked off and left her with four lively young children and very few financial resources. Today, they have gotten along very well. I walked into church a couple of weeks ago with one of the children. Beautiful lady, strong faith, had real troubles in her life. Lost a little child in the river during the winter. Oh, through all of this, I heard Joan say again and again, "I trust God. It'll all work out all right." I saw that in Kelly last week. I went to her wedding. Not long ago, we buried Kelly's dad. Prior to that, her grandmother. Prior to that, her uncle. And so it went on and on. Who was going to bring Kelly down the aisle in this beautiful wedding? Kelly walked down by herself. I grabbed for my handkerchief. I cried. I had officiated at those funerals. I knew the hurt in that family. And at the reception, when I said to Kelly, as I put my arms around her, "Kelly, you are one strong person." And she replied, "I wasn't alone. The Lord was with me, and Dad was walking by my side." That's the same kind of a faith that Abraham had, and it can be in you and me, and it's in a 21-year-old lady today. Just trust him. And that's not just reckless living. That, my friend, is living with a promise that God has given to us. "I will be with you always. Walk with me and then trust me." I see that every Sunday in the life of my friend Paul. Paul is terminally ill. When the oncologist told him it was not whether or not he was going to die, but when, and Paul said, "It's in the hands of God." He has told me again and again when I talked with him, "How's it going, Paul?" He would say almost repetitiously, "I know that I might not be here very long, but it'll all work out. It's all right." Now I have stood in his pulpit for nearly a year, Sunday after Sunday, and I've watched Paul and Mary's faith grow stronger and stronger. They know what the future is. They don't know when it's all going to happen. But it is not irresponsible thinking. It is not only trusting the words of the oncologist, but far more than that, it is trusting the word of the Lord. I saw it in the life of my mother-in-law. She had raised 10 children. Now they were adults, grown, had their own children, probably some of them their grandchildren. When difficulties came her way, as they do all of us, Grandma simply said, "It'll all work out. We're in the Lord's hands." And it did just that. At the age of 78, she made a brief visit to the home of all 10 children. Returning home, one of her sons went to the train station in Omaha to meet her. He saw her get off the train, and then he lost her in the crowd. She had fallen to the ground and died of a massive heart attack. Now she was at home with the Lord. She trusted the promises of God, and it all worked out well. Her continual counsel to the family was, "Trust Him. Those who do trust Him live much happier lives. They get rid of a bundle of cares as it becomes evident they are not in control of their lives when it comes to the big matters of life." Yes, for a person who often wonders about the future and sometimes worries altogether too much, I need to be told, accept God's promises, trust Him, then everything will work out all right. Abraham demonstrated that faith, and that's why he's my Secretary of State. That's why I need him as a part of my cabinet. I need him on my board of directors. For when my faith weakens, then Abraham, together with his counterparts who live around me now, will counsel me and say, "Trust him. Christ is still on the throne." Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may learn from Abraham and from those round about us. All that you are able to do, not only in creating faith within us, but helping it to grow. Hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Radio Ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the new year will bring you a sense of renewed hope and joy. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Your gifts enable us to buy time on 23 radio stations in 11 states to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite you to learn more about Christian Crusaders on the web. Past sermons are available in printed form or real audio, organized by date or topic. Explore our rich 65-year history in pictures and words. Track down a station near you with our interactive map. And because we want to hear from you, there's a page where you can send us comments. All this and more can be found at ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.